Item four, so I just wanted to say to the staff, thank you for all your hard work over the last year. It's not as it never is. It's never been an easy year. I know you've had an enormous amount of work, and on behalf of all of us, we wish you happy holidays. So item number one, we will call the matter to order. The meeting to order. Item number two is the draft minutes, and we have two public comments. Mr. Previn.
Hi, thank you, Ethics Commission. It's Eric Previn from CD2 in Studio City. Would it be possible to speak on the items that I've pulled and not have to come back and forth, and then I could get out of your hair?
We're going to have to go in order today.
We're going to have to go in order today?
Right. So
we
we'll
never
be
go in order.
We'll be going in order today.
Okay. Well, so the approval of the minutes, I was at the last meeting, and we didn't go in order so that we were able to accommodate the public. But today we have lots of people, so we need to accommodate the public. So evidently, we won't be able to speak on the agenda items until after what is a big production that's going to be taking place for the Parker case, item four. And whereas I admire the officer for exonerating himself, it's clear that the administrative guy found a little, that he had violated a rule, but he should be exonerated immediately, obviously. And the costs of having to defend himself should be applied directly to Mr. Feuer, who has continued to proceed in unconstitutional ways and selectively enforce various items in front of the city, because he can, and it's not appropriate. It's completely inappropriate that he has looked away from the fact that Herbert Wesson, who is the council president, has assumed authority over CD7, Ms. Orton. This is a district in North Valley, East Valley, in which there is no representative, and Flippy Fuentes has gone to work for a lobbyist at Apex, and this body sits
Madam
here
President,
telling us that we cannot speak on the items before the
speaking
council.
On
it's absolutely
the minutes.
Insulting. And I will simply say, I will come back, but I must tell you, you need to do a little better. You're doing a great job going on KTLA and punditing about Trump and whatnot, but you ought to focus on the corruption in this building. That is your job, all of you. And I'm sad to see Ms. DeHaan go, although it's a good thing because she was an NBC Universal lobbyist. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Previn. Wayne from Encino, comment on item number two.
So good from the last meeting. I reiterate my comments again. Sergeant Parker is innocent. You are taking this man and administratively lynching this man.
Madam President,
I talked about it at the last meeting, and you need to put it in the minutes, what I quoted, what I stated about this.
You
I talked about
item
this
number
case.
Two, the draft minutes.
And I am.
Okay.
I want in those minutes to clearly put down that, as I said, this man is innocent, and in those minutes, as it directed, you were going to send this to somebody to decide it, a third party, and what happened, as I stated in those minutes, as should be put it down in those minutes, those rules were never enforced. In fact, they were told as a matter of policy, the police officers own that equipment, and those recordings are their ownership. One of them even sold it to TMZ in another case. Therefore, you are selectively, unconstitutionally enforcing a law in retaliation against a person who did the right thing and might have stopped a riot, at the very least, if not a civil disturbance. And for that, and because he did that, you guys took it upon yourselves in an unprecedented and illegal maneuver to take and have the nerve to find this man, attempt to find this man $10,000, not including what he's paying his lawyers, not including the time he's lost from work, not including the damage to his reputation. How's he going to get all that back? So not only, and you could put this in the minutes, should you exonerate him and not pay the fine, you should exonerate him on the law, and you should pay all of his legal costs and expenses because you people filed a frivolous and illegal and retaliatory charge against this man, and it's got to stop. You want to take on corruption? Deal with Jose Huizar. Deal with Herman Wesson, who uses two fake names to get mortgages under two different names. Do your job, not this.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes public comment for item number two. I move to approve the draft minutes. Are there any seconds?
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
The draft minutes are approved. Do we have possible discussion regarding neighborhood council, item number three?
None have been submitted.
Okay. Item number four. the decision and order regarding Officer Parker. All right, what I'm going to do is briefly summarize the case first and provide my thoughts. Then I want to open this up to questions, finally, from my fellow commissioners. So first, the summary.
Just a moment. Before we get started on this matter, the commissioners are required to certify that they have read the entire record. So if we could put on the record, I can do it. We can do it by roll call just to make the record clear.
Okay, let's do it by roll call. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Ordon?
Yes, I have read the entire record and have listened to tapes as well. I also would like to put on the record, although I think it's quite clear to counsel and to the parties involved, that I have served on the Los Angeles Police Commission. First 4 years, then became county council, and then came back for 1 year as the president of the police commission. I do not believe that that prior service in any way makes any difficulty for me in finding and making impartial decisions. But clearly, throughout the 2 days of hearings, there are many names there that I do know, people from the league that I've worked with, people from the department, and people from the commission.
Commissioner Oberstein?
I have read the entirety of the files.
Commissioner Levinson?
I have as well.
Commissioner Murray?
I certify that I've reviewed the entire record.
Okay, thank you. So on February 16th of 2016, we sent this matter to an administrative hearing. That hearing took place before an administrative law judge, an ALJ, on September 26th and September 27th of this year. The ALJ determined that Officer Parker had violated city law and recommended no penalty in this case. We have now all reviewed, as we just certified, the administrative record, and we must determine now whether to accept, reject, or amend the ALJ's findings. The staff recommends essentially that we adopt the ALJ's decision but levy a fine of $10,000 in order to be consistent with actions we've taken in other enforcement matters. Officer Parker contends that we should reject the ALJ's findings and conclude that he did not violate city law. So my thoughts on the matter, I want to stress that our decision cannot be based on our feelings of whether we agree or disagree with Officer Parker's actions, but rather we must determine whether we found a violation of the law. We fail in our duty as commissioners if we do anything other than apply the facts of this case to the city law that is applicable. While I find that the LAPD manual in this case may not be a model of clarity, I similarly agree with the ALJ that there has been a violation of city law. Now, as to the proper penalty, I diverge both from the ALJ and from the staff's recommendations. The staff argues that essentially we must adhere to the structure that we have used in other cases, and that it would be counterproductive and problematic to diverge from that structure. I very well understand the staff's concern in this case. I think it is extremely important that we have a consistent and predictable penalty structure. I think that is true in all but extraordinary circumstances and unusual cases, and I think we find ourselves in an extraordinary circumstance or an unusual case. Here, I believe a fine of up to $500 is the approximately reasonable penalty. Those are my thoughts on the matter as to why there is a violation and what the appropriate penalty would be. Next, I want to remind our fellow commissioners that to the extent that we do have robust public comment, of course, is a one-way street and everyone will be afforded 2 minutes. We will not be hearing presentations in this matter, but I do want to open this up to my fellow commissioners to the extent that they have questions before we hear public comment on this matter. Commissioner Murray.
I agree with Commissioner Levinson. I do believe there is a violation of the law. I do not agree with the commission's recommendation that the fine should be maximum. I haven't considered the amount of penalty, but consistent with past violations, because as the Judge Reyes stated there are circumstances in aggravation and also in mitigation. This was an isolated incident. I do not believe that the maximum fine should be applied. And I am open to suggestions as to what that fine should be. I feel maybe 500 is a little bit low, but I'm definitely open to suggestions. Again, this appears to be an isolated incident.
All right, Vice President Oberstein.
I first want to thank Mr. Parker for his years of service to the city and say that as someone who upheld the law for 26 years, I believe that he knows better than most the importance of respecting due process and abiding by the law and the rules. In all of our professional roles, especially as public servants, we have an obligation not just to know the rules, but to abide by them. I believe that that in serving the city of LA, Mr. Parker had an obligation not just to protect the Los Angeles Police Department, but the city of Los Angeles itself. By releasing the audio tape, I believe that Mr. Parker violated the city charter and did not protect the city of LA and its process. I also believe that there was no malicious intent. I support upholding Judge Reyes's decision that a violation occurs, and President Levinson in enforcing a nominal fee no more than $500.
Right. Commissioner Orden.
Yes. First, I'd also like to say that I think that the hearing was handled with great skill for both sides, was handled well by the administrative law judge. I think it was all language that all of us, whether we were trained as lawyers or not trained as lawyers, could understand. I was impressed in particular that the administrative judge gave such latitude in the in limine motions, things that might have come before the hearing or might not have come before the hearing, but for the judge opening it up so that all of those information was made available. I do agree that for all of the concern about the uniqueness of this case and possible crossover between the Los Angeles Police Department's procedures and the procedures of this commission, that indeed it was a violation, just as the administrative law judge found, as to both counts. And I understand very clearly the argument being made that if it is a violation, there ought to be consequences. The consequences here is to be in the proceeding. The consequences here is also to have an opinion here that clearly says that there were violations. So I believe there have been consequences. I think earlier in public comment it was mentioned attorney's fees. From my reading of the transcript, the attorney's fees are not being paid personally by the party. That is irrelevant, but it is not an additional burden that he has. So I agree really with all of you that there should be consequences, and I think one of the consequences is to have a civil penalty. But because of the fact that various factors, and perhaps we'll go through those five factors to determine which ones we're going to rely upon in reducing this penalty, I do believe that the penalty should be reduced to a nominal amount.
Okay. Let's hear from the public. Mr. Previn.
Well, I appreciate that the commission has looked at the materials closely. And I think that it's important to understand that when the Ethics Commission, that has a degree of prosecutorial discretion, I would say, as to where to bring the resources to have an administrative hearing, to bring your various treasured partners in the media who have been following this case because of it's an interesting case. The guy clearly, there was a law, it was clearly crossed a little bit, and yet everybody who understands service and why the guy released it has a feeling, but yet the law is the law, and we don't want to pretend the law doesn't exist on this case. But on so many other cases, like the case that I mentioned about CD7, and if I wasn't clear, that is the charter of the city of Los Angeles for those scholars here in the room. And that charter has not been followed on the appointment of CD7. And yet the Ethics Commission told me, oh, it's not our jurisdiction. And so the question becomes, well, what is your jurisdiction? And why are you poking around in legal matters if for no other reason than to seize some limelight and have Mr. Perez, who is, unfortunately, Mr. Perez, if you look at on the executive director's report of the various cases that have been, that are underway, something is not working in the enforcement division, okay? As previous speakers mentioned, there are lots of little violations all over the place that are as black and white in the code as this one is, and the prosecutorial discretion has been muffled. There's no clarity. An individual, even a significantly widely read individual who brings it, even members of the press who bring things forward, are simply told, thank you, we can't discuss it with you. This is not working, guys. An ethics commission needs to be responsive to the public's concerns. And this is one where it is a completely self-serving matter, where everybody can show how studious and careful they've looked at the law, because it is a violation of the law. But this guy ought to be exonerated. He ought to be given a $1 fine, if any fine, if that makes it somehow better for you. Orden is right. The consequences of being dragged through this muck are way out of line and never should have been prosecuted. And how many times do speeders get caught while driving on the road, and how many times are they? This is just, this is an example of the worst possible color on this commission. And I'm very, very sad about it. But thank you for letting the guy go without any penalty. And you ought to eat his legal bills as well. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Craig, and I apologize, I can't.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Craig Lally, the president of the Los Angeles Police Protective League. I've been on the police department for going on 36 years. I represent the 10,000 officers on the LA Police Department. First of all, I want to talk about an incident that I had back in 1993 where I personally tape recorded O.J. Simpson, his wife Nicole, at the scene of a domestic violence incident. That was the radio call. I got there, I had a pocket tape recorder, I had my own personal tape and my own personal tape recorder. I tape recorded that entire incident. After the incident, 6 months later, Nicole Simpson was killed, murdered by O.J. Simpson. I took that tape, I took it to the DA's office, I gave it to the lead DA and also the two prime investigators from Robbery Homicide Division at the time, and I gave them the tape. A copy of the tape. I kept the original because it was the belief of the city, it was the belief of the department that I was my own personal tape recorder, it was my own personal tape. They didn't have a right to it. I was later dismissed from the case to testify. The tape was released to the media, not the tape itself, but the transcription. Diane Sawyer called me from Primetime Live. She says, I'd like you to do an interview regarding this incident on Bundy. Prior to her death, I did it. I released it to her. With the tape that I had, the original tape, and nothing was done to me. There was no ethics violation. I didn't hear from an ethics commission. So the problem I have with the ethics commission in general, you get to pick and choose who you want to go after. If you want to, you can come after me because I did the exact same set of circumstances. What I did, I had a ruling from several attorneys that said that was my tape. It was my personal tape recorder. I can do what I want with it. Okay, so I very much disagree with your decision. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Mr. McCrevin after. All right, Wayne from Encino.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, $500. Let's flip for it, double or nothing, because this is a game you're playing. It's not the law. $500. Why? Why? Why not make it $50,000? Why not make it $100,000? Let's bet our houses. Let's flip for it. You people just heard from a man who told you the truth. It was his property. There is no violation. There is no violation. This is a selective persecution, not a prosecution. No fine, zero, and a complete exoneration of this man is all that will be accepted. Now, I've had my problems with the situation, so when I get together and I fully agree with the Police Protective League, you know you guys are not in the wrong. You are way off. You are way off on this. $500. No, the idea is if it's a dollar, you're saying he did the wrong thing. You sully his badge, and you detract from his good character. This is an honorable, decent, honest police officer, and we need 10,000 more of them. And what you're telling us is that because this man knew the policy and never sold the tape, you know how much he could have got for that tape? He could have got $50,000 for that tape. He could have sold it to TMZ. He got nothing. He only wanted to clear his name, the department's name. No fine, exoneration, stop playing games. So you want to flip for it? Of course you don't, because you're chickens.
Mr. Hanna.
Thank you very much for this time. I think that Judge Reyes did a great job in his decision, and I think you're reading it wrong, and he made one big mistake. He brought in a case that has nothing to do with this. Sergeant Parker did nothing wrong. You saw what Lieutenant Lally said. There are hundreds of other people who have been doing this day in and day out, and they're still doing it. They go to small claims court. They go on TV, and you have done nothing to those people. You are hurting the department. You are crippling the police force in this city. You, what you guys are doing here, think about it. You are crippling this police department when they have to worry about this. And your enforcement, I really could use some words, but we've brought letters about the unethical things they've done. It's the old adage, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Nothing's been done about the unethical things they've done. What has to happen is the Ethics Commission, I guess, and the police commission have to get together. There are too many things going on where police officers can't be held to your rules. We've already gone to court once, and the judge ruled in our favor in some of it with excising some of the police officers. There's going to be a lawsuit very soon. We're going to do a writ. You have to remember that it's not the city ordinance. It's the order that he has, and it's right here. It says not one word about confidentiality. But you take body cameras, it's all over. This is confidential. These are not. It's right in the record. If you find one word in there that says this is confidential, then he will plead guilty. He'll take your $10,000 fine. It says nothing. And officers have been doing it for 20 years, going on primetime live, 33 million people, maybe somebody from Internal Affairs, maybe somebody from the Ethics Commission may have watched that show. And you guys have the audacity to think about him being found guilty for one thing, and then even a fine. What you should be doing is giving him a medal. And I've said that over and over. The mayor should have him in front of the city council and give him a medal for what he did. You guys are just cowards for what you're doing. And you have to read this and read it in the totality. He did not do anything wrong. I appreciate your time. And please, you have three orders in front of you. I would ask that you go to the one that says that there was no law broken. And then start working with the police commission to see if something's going to happen. It's up to the chief of police. The only person who can decide if Parker did anything wrong is the chief of police, whether that tape was confidential or not confidential. And he has not spoken. They had somebody from the captain from Internal Affairs, who the administrative law judge said, I don't trust him. You read the thing. We brought in the former commander, and he said, it should be confidential, but it's a management nightmare. We want clarity. That's all we want. I'm sorry I insulted you, but this is very, very, every officer on the beat has to be thinking about this, and they are thinking about it. This is wrong. Don't send a message like everybody else is, that we're going to beat up on police officers this year. When they're dying out there, we can't. We just went to a conference, NAPO, for an international conference. they can't get police officers into the academy throughout the United States. We are getting into critical mass here, and this is one of the little straws that's helping break the camel's back. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Pan.
Any questions, I would love to answer, because this is very complicated law, and again, the lawsuits are going to be flying if you do make the decision that you're telegraphing right now. I hope you change your mind. Thank you
okay.
very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hanna. Ms. Stegman.
Morning. I asked to speak for a few minutes because shortly before the hearing, I was asked to assist in the representation of Sergeant Parker. And prior to that, I had met him in the office, but I really didn't know him. And prior to the two-day hearing, I spent time getting up on the facts, the law, et cetera. I spent two very intense days with Sergeant Parker. We did not leave the building. And much of that time, it was just Sergeant Parker and me because Mr. Hanna was working on briefs, et cetera, et cetera. And I was so impressed with Sergeant Parker as a person. And I know not one of you has had the opportunity to meet Sergeant Parker, to get to know Sergeant Parker. He was a member of the LAPD force for so many years. And we talked about what happened. And the sole reason that motivated him was to protect the city that he loves. And I'm a resident of the city of Los Angeles, so that resonated with me. And at the time of the incident and since the incident, we've been living in a unique history. Unfortunately, not a history that I think any of us would like to be living in. Prior to the incident and subsequent to the incident, there have been all sorts of demonstrations, some becoming violent, attacks on police when they're just sitting in their cars. And Sergeant Parker was determined to protect the city. That's what he wanted to do. And he realized when he wasn't being supported by command staff, and he could see that things were possibly going to get violent, unfortunately. The actress had a forum on social media. She already had Twitter followers, et cetera, because of her work in the industry. And he saw where that was going. And he didn't want that to happen. And that's why he did what he did. And that's why I wanted to speak, just to present that as a person, that was his motivation. As Lieutenant Lally has already mentioned, he never got a penny. He never did anything that benefited him in any way. His goal was to protect the city. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Cronin.
Good morning. My name is Officer Mark Cronin. I currently serve as a director at the Los Angeles Police Protective League. I've been an officer for the city of Los Angeles for going on 23 years now, and a motor officer back in 2008. I've been on my motorcycle for 18 years in this city. What's happening to Sergeant Parker is not right. He was told that his personal tape recorder belongs to him, and he was to keep the tapes. Sergeant Parker knew other officers had used them on TV shows and in court without Internal Affairs or the Ethics Commission bringing charges. Based on this case, many officers of the Los Angeles Police Department have never had to interact with you, the Ethics Commission. They're not trained on the commission's rules or purview. They feel there has been a change in the rules midstream. For myself, I did not receive any training in the Los Angeles Ethics Commission when I was in the academy, nor since graduating from the academy. I read the special order dealing with tape recorders at the time I signed, and I was carrying a tape recorder all the time. In my reading, the information obtained on my recorder was not confidential. I used my recorder frequently in court to impeach violators. The use of my recorder was known by my command officers. No one from the Ethics Commission, Traffic Bureau, or Los Angeles Police Department ever came to me and advised that I could not use my recorder in or out of court. Supervisors knew that officers use their tape recorders, still do. on a routine basis, and it is still being done to this day. In 2008, I appeared on the television show Judge Mathis. There's precedent here, many times, actually. I had a demonstratively false personnel complaint waged against me. The complaint was deemed false by the department. As a result of that, I went to Chatsworth Court and filed a small claims action against a violator for making a false complaint against a peace officer. After I filed the small claims action in court, both the defendant and I were contacted by Judge Mathis and asked if we wanted to have our day in court on TV. I advised my supervisor prior to the show of what I was doing. They used my personal tape recorder and played my personal tape recording on the TV show. The judge ruled in my favor. Judge Mathis got very angry when the violator lied in court, pointing to her and saying, "You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar." No one from the Ethics Commission came and advised me that I should not have gone on TV and used my tape recorder and my personal recording of the incident. There are types of recordings that do belong to the department, body-worn cameras, for example. The men and women of the Los Angeles Police Department want and deserve clear and concise rules about what the LAPD and the Ethics Commission requires of our officers. We want to follow the rules. However, it's unfair to suddenly change the rules or practice of the city, then seek to punish an officer, especially one whose actions have only been used to defend himself or the department. I have a 24-year-old. You guys are setting a tone, which is one of the reasons I don't want him to do what I'm doing. I love being a police officer. You have a choice to make, and it's an important one today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cronin. All right. That concludes public comment on item number 4. I want to summarize some thoughts. Number one, I want to reiterate, this is not about whether or not we agree or disagree with anything that Officer Parker has done. It's not about whether we agree or disagree with the wisdom of the law. It's not about what has happened in other cases that are not before us, which we're not permitted to consider. It's not about the political climate, as much as we may want to consider this. This is our duty as commissioners to apply just the facts before us to just the law that applies in this case. Again, want to reiterate my feeling that there has been a violation of the city law. And I again want to reiterate my feeling in part because of the public comment that we heard, and I speak for all the commissioners when I say we appreciate and listen to what you're saying, that I do believe that this is an extraordinary circumstance. I do not certainly want to telegraph a message to anyone else who may come before us that the commission is in the business of diverging now from the structure that we've put in place for fines, which I think has created a great deal of transparency, predictability, and consistency throughout the city of Los Angeles. What I do want to say is that in these very rare circumstances, it's within our discretion to say we're going to vary from that structure. So having said that, I continue to believe that there has been a violation and that a nominal fine of up to $500 is appropriate in this case. I think this is our moment to discuss and with a even-numbered commission try and agree on a conclusion in this matter.
Just for clarity, President, $500 would be $250 for each violation.
Exactly. Thank you. All right, so I think we've heard from Vice President Oberstein on her comfort with that number, but I certainly want to have a discussion and hopefully consensus on what we think is appropriate in this matter. So, Commissioner Ordon?
Right. And each of us and each of the public comments have gone to the unique nature of this. That does happen because the law does change and consequences occur because of the change of that law. I think, as you have heard, we feel comfortable and confident with the decision of the administrative law judge, who listened very carefully to the testimony of Officer Lally and others, who have indeed used their their individual personal recordings. It's not the fact that they don't own those personal recordings. It is the fact of the misuse of that recording. And I don't think any of us are unaware of the very difficult times that the Los Angeles Police Department has had during this past year. And in no way wish to in any way denigrate the work of the men and women of the department. But it is a violation. It was sent to a very fine administrative judge based only upon what I've seen there. I did not know him from any other time. And it is a violation. And the question is, what are the appropriate consequences? And I thought it might be helpful if we did look at our five categories and then see if why we thought it needed to be modified down from those major areas. Because I was very impressed with one of the public comments here that he was doing it for his department, the department that he had served so well for so many years. There is an argument, and there was an argument in the case, that he did it for his own reputation as well. Nevertheless, that's linked to me. A person who has served for 24 years in the department, I would always hope, would think of his department as himself and work to make something better. The method he used violated the Ethics Commission law. There were ways to get that word out. It was a terrible time for everybody in the department. It was a terrible time for him. But under the circumstances, he violated a law. But I think it's our job to say, in this very particular case, that the consequences should be much more minimal in terms of the financial penalty. And I do believe, as I said before, in reading the records, that the attorney's fees themselves will be covered elsewhere.
Well, so, Commissioner Orden, we could go through, essentially we found that, you know, there's been no settlement, and we could go through the factors. Is there a number you have in mind that you think would be appropriate in this case, or?
I would be the numbers that you have all been talking about at $250 each. I quite frankly think that this case is stronger on the first charge than the second charge, because of that mixed motive of trying to do good for his own department, whether it was done in the right way or not.
Well, we could at this point proceed to vote on an amended finding where we find that there has been a penalty, a violation, and that we would be levying a penalty of $500 total, $250 for each count. Commissioner Murray, are you comfortable proceeding?
I am.
Okay. So I would, excuse me a moment, I would move that we issue a final decision in order reflecting our determination that states that there has been a violation in this matter, that the appropriate penalty is $250 for each count for a total of $500. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That is a unanimous decision. And I believe that concludes item number four. All right. With that, we are going to take a 7-minute break. I say 7 because I know that always turns into 10. Thank you very much.
This is my first time, so be gentle and patient. So we are now on action item number 5, which is a proposed stipulation in the matter of Marie Rumsey, an alleged violation of the revolving door restrictions. Mr. Perez and...
Happy holidays. My name is Sergio Perez, the Director of Enforcement. This is actually Michael Lauthien's maiden voyage on this journey that we're on. He's one of the investigators that we hired in the earlier part of the year, and he conducted the investigation into this matter.
Michael, can you just repeat your last name? I didn't
hear. Sure. It's Lauthien, Lauthien.
Okay. Thanks so much.
That was a good... That was close.
Well, great. I'm happy to hear from you both before I make any comments unless anyone of my commissioners wants to speak first. Okay.
Thank you, Vice President Oberstein. The matter before you involves alleged violations of the city post-employment laws. The respondent, Marie Rumsey, a former city official with the City of Los Angeles, has admitted to violating the law by receiving compensation for attempts to influence city action within 12 months of her departure from city service. She has admitted to two counts. The information is contained in the exhibit, and I recommend that you accept the stipulation and exhibit as presented.
And I'm assuming that the low number is was she cooperative in the investigation?
Yes, Vice President Oberstein. Ms. Rumsey, at every step of the investigation, was extremely cooperative with both Mr. Lauthien and other staff members who contacted her. So was her counsel on this matter. And she admitted responsibility in no uncertain terms, as memorialized in the stipulation and exhibit. That is why the recommended penalty of $7,125 for the alleged violations is appropriate.
We just had a case about serving the city for many years, and Ms. Rumsey was serving the city for 13 years, and whether or not she got faulty legal advice seems negligent to me, so I'm completely comfortable passing or supporting a fine of $7,125.
I second that. That is a motion.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. Okay. I know there was one public comment, so I just wanted to.
Is there? Is that from Mr. Riskin?
Yes.
Oh, my apologies. There is written comment from Mr. Riskin. Should I read that?
No.
Oh, great. Perfect. We did receive written comment from Mr. Adrian Riskin, and we've all read that. So, then I make a motion to approve the proposed stipulation of as presented and pass a fine of $7,125.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. So moved.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Okay, great. Moving right along. The next action item is determining regarding the sufficiency of matching funds for the 2017 primary elections. Our executive director is going to present on that.
Yes, good morning, Heather Holt, Executive Director. This is a task that is required of us by law. Before we head into any election, we are required to certify as to the sufficiency of the Matching Funds Trust Fund so that if there isn't sufficient money to cover maximum payouts to eligible candidates, that we alert the candidates to that early on and let them know what they can expect to receive. We always try to make a very conservative estimation. We've done so in this case based on historic trends and the number of candidates who filed to become candidates and to participate in the program during candidate filing week. This certification is only for the primary election, but we did also take into consideration what the scenario would be looking at any possible general election and assuming that there would be a runoff in every race and that both candidates in each runoff race would get the maximum. And there's sufficient funds in the matching trust fund to cover all of those projected payments. So we recommend adopting the resolution in Attachment A to certify that.
Great. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions?
No, Your Honor. No, so moved.
Great.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so moved. Great. Is Mr. Previn here? My apologies. Wait, he wanted to make comment on...
He's no longer here.
Okay. Then our next action item is to adopt a regular meeting schedule for 2017. Commissioners, do all of these dates and times work for you?
Yes.
Yes, and I heard that Jessica Levinson, it worked for her as well.
Yes.
Correct.
Perfect. Well, I make a motion then to adopt the recommended regular meeting schedule.
And I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. So moved. We have item number 8 is an information item. I think the rest of them are information items. Has everybody, I assume that everybody's read the binders. Are we comfortable saying that we've all read these and... we do not need additional presentations from staff?
I just had one question about the policy and legislation report. We have been talking for the last several commission meetings about the lobbying regulations. Can we get an update about where we are on track as far as that's concerned?
Absolutely. Heather Holt, Executive Director again. If you look at page 3 on the Horizon snapshot, we are planning to return to the lobbying discussion at our next meeting in February. This meeting was designed to be focused on enforcement matters and some housekeeping business, and so we are on track to resume those discussions probably for several meetings next year.
Great. Thanks.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, if everybody's comfortable... then I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Great. Thanks, everybody, and happy holidays. Have a great rest of your new year. And we'll see you in 2017.
And I would like to echo the thanks to the staff for the work, even though it's only been 2 months for me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate your work as the commissioners.
Thank you.